listening to Two Chunks and a Hunk. Movie musings for mostly everybody.
Hello and welcome to Two Chunks and a Hunk, and jump, jump, the house is jumping. I am your chunk, Jordan Wonders. I messed myself up with the flow of this intro.
I'm Tosh, and next time, you should think before you open your chunk.
Whoa, I'll say.
Gross.
And I'm Carter, and no, that's okay. You know what? I should probably head home and feed my pet hunk his dinner.
You've got a hunk?
Yes, named Butler. Hunk Butler. Get it?
My favorite part is that in this quote, somehow the little sister was played by Patrick Warburton. That was really good.
Oh, it's Angie. Angie asks. I didn't even look at the name. Wow.
You've got a rat?
I'm sorry. Squeak?
Why are you?
So I'm why are just going to do it. So I am, my wife and I, Chelsea and I, are about to go on vacation, and we're going to be driving to Asheville, North Carolina to stay in a cabin in the woods.
Ooh.
So I'm going to live.
Go blow on that.
Possibly a horror movie. And then also, the last time, I'll claim my hunkdom in that. The last time I took a very similar drive was heading to North Carolina for the National Andy Griffith Show Convention.
Yep.
So a lot of my memories are tied there for the reasons of a different Angie. Different Ange. So it's all coming full circle in such an interesting way.
I think the most interesting thing about how it's coming full circle is that if you sound out your destination phonetically, it's the car my mom had when I was growing up. A Chevrolet.
A Chevrolet?
Hey, that sucks.
No, it was real bad.
Hey, that sucks, man.
I'm a fan for sure.
I mean, we are all laughing about it.
Golly, man.
Because it's a Chevrolet.
Wow.
Well, as it was coming out, I felt it turn to ash on my tongue. And there was a small voice inside saying, hey, dude, this is the worst thing you've ever said.
No, yeah, I'm telling you, I genuinely love it.
If somehow, some way, we managed to keep you, dear listener, through all of that, then I would like to welcome you to the third installment, second to last even, installment of our DCOM series. The movie we're talking about this time is known as
Smart House.
And I'd like to jump right in, but legally I cannot because I need a clearance code given only by a synopsis from the one, the only, Justin Dozier.
Yeah, quick plug, though, for these synopsi. We recently received a review on iTunes, and it was our first specific mention from somebody of loving this part of our show. So
that's good.
I pray that those listening don't take anything for granted.
You never know what you got until it's gone.
You never know. Paved paradise.
And that's a threat.
This week's IMDb synopsis was written by BaronLatos1 at theiremailaddress.com.
Okay.
Meet the Coopers. An average American family. Meet Dad, a widower. Meet Angie and her older brother Ben.
Who is the average
what? Who is the quote mom of the family? The Coopers win a quote house of the future with a cyber housekeeper Pat personal applied technology. Pat's great for throwing parties and making sure the family runs smoothly. But when Dad starts going out with Sarah, the person who created the house, Ben programs Pat to act more motherly so his father won't think they need a mother. But the house goes whack, and it's up to Sarah and Ben to work together to defeat a very smart house.
This wasn't written too much after the movie came out. Yeah, the house goes whack.
Oh, man.
It's the most late 90s.
Ooh, that one's juicy.
Heard. Okay. Quite. So, I mean, I guess Chunktober wasn't technically over, was it? We've got some remnants here.
There I'm trying to think if this is the only or one of the only DCOMs with licensed music in it. I know it's not the only one, but I just can't think of many that have, like, that song C'est la vie, that Bewitched song that she's dancing to in her bed. And I don't know if Jump Jump the House is Jumping was an original song written for Smart House, and I don't want to know.
It's like how Nine Inch Nails maybe wrote Hurt, but since Johnny Cash covered it and did such a good job with his old sad cowboy voice, that's his song now.
Yeah. This is Smart House's song now.
I think so. I think that's exactly right.
And the maybe more than anywhere else in this series, the 90s boy band influence is alive and well.
Where am I? I'm here for it. I love that aspect of this movie. It's so, so great.
I do too.
It's not my super pump by any means, but I have a favorite scene in this movie, and it is miles ahead of everything else that happens in this movie.
Please tell me what it is. I think I know what it is, but please tell me.
It is when Ben and what's his sister's name? Not Sarah.
Angie.
Ben and Angie throw the party with Pat's help. And the very first thing that they do is they turn on the screen wall to watch a sick music video. And first of all, the couch up against that wall disappears.
Yeah.
So there's that. But also, him and his friends are immediately like, oh, this video rules. And then just do the dance together. Just,
I know the whole dance
like a full
to it.
Minute. Yeah.
It felt like a ritual. It's like, I got to get my boys here first. Give us 10 minutes and we'll bless this house.
It is.
We're going to burn some sage and bust some moves.
Burn some sage and bust some moves.
It is unequivocally to me the best thing that happens in this movie.
Yeah, it's absolutely wonderful.
I love it with everything inside of me.
It is wonderful.
Speaking of things that I love and that are wonderful, the getting to see Ryan Merriman years apart in two movies this close together, he aged
puberty,
well.
Huh?
He aged well. I was making fun of him in Luck of the Irish, but the boy the boy done glowed up. I'll tell you that.
He glued.
He glued right up. And he just, the spiky hair, the t-shirts where the sleeves come all the way down to the elbows.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's just perfect.
Dude, something
trying
about
to wear those shorts
movie.
A little bit low.
Yeah. You know? You got to.
Something about this movie hits me right in the sweet spot of so aggressively and egregiously bad that it's amazing.
Yes.
I will say, I mean, I've watched, spoiler alert, I watched ahead a little bit. I know that they say not to read ahead if you're in English class or something like that. I watched ahead. I've watched every movie of this series until we get to High School Musical so far. And this is far and away the one that I had the least difficulty staying engaged with. And I don't know why.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Here's my take.
I have no
why.
Idea why. Tell me why.
Here's my take why. Okay. I'm going to say that my super pump, get ready. My super pump, get ready, is the script. Now, listen.
My
now,
super pump is the script, though.
Are you serious?
100%. Yes.
Okay. I, for many reasons, one of them being the Mickey Mouse cojones to try something like this.
Them some mouse beans.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last time I felt like this, Vin Diesel was like driving a car from one skyscraper to the other.
Sure.
I was like, yeah, wow, that really took, but boy, did it pay off. I want to shake the hand of the person that said, let's give it a shot. Let's try it. But honestly, this, I felt like this movie, from what I've seen yet in our series, had the best chance to have a really concentrated influence on a certain kid.
Right.
That just inherited all of these roles, right? This is a lesson in all of the Enneagram male twos out there. This is like, you know, what happened? But we do have, and you know, things get better with Disney when we get rid of a parent. We've got a one parent home now.
Yep.
And all of a sudden it's a little more poignant. But yeah, I was just throughout, I think around halfway point, I was like, I think it's going to be the script. And then by the end, I was like, yeah, absolutely. Super pumped the screen. Why about you, Doge?
I think for me, it's just because of the maturity with which the subject is handled. Like, this is a story about a kid afraid his mom is going to be replaced. And ultimately, the smart house stuff is completely incidental to that. The technology is incidental. You can make this movie in 1930. You can make it in 2030. But because the smart house stuff is not the draw, it's completely incidental. I think that Like, as whereas our other stuff, like, I'm not even going to compare Xenon, because Xenon structurally is a complete mess. There's nothing that really, like, you know, I can't really even tell you what that movie's about, other than Xenon wants to do what Xenon wants to do, and we should just let her do it. But for Luck of the Irish, like, the leprechaun stuff is the whole story.
Right.
Like, we don't ever make that leap from, we're using the leprechaun stuff to tell a story about a kid that feels disconnected from his parents, which is what the movie should have been. But this is, like, we do a really good job of saying, like, this is a story about a kid who's afraid that his dad, who is, by the way, Walmart Dennis Quaid, is going to replace his mother.
Yeah, for sure. And I think what helps with it too, I think the actors, it felt like they knew they kind of had something to work with. Because I think the times that you have dad getting on to the son, felt there was a certain realism felt there.
Yeah.
It had to be that the pieces of the script and, you know, the other one, when I feel like we almost get a caricature version in our Patreon film, which we'll talk about.
Right.
And is worth listening to. This felt a little bit more realistic in that relationship.
So, and I think we probably also have to throw a credit to the director, who is LeVar Burton. I had no idea until I saw that come up in the credits.
That is
this
insane.
Is one of the only movies he did, or the only movie he ever did. He what dabbled in earth? Episodes of shows, but yeah.
So my super pump is, I'm interesting. It's interesting to me that you guys brought it to this kind of place. Mine is tangential, like it's close. My super pump is actually Walmart Dennis Quaid. It's the dad.
Yeah.
That's great.
Donis Quaid. The way that he interacts with Ben, and I'm talking specifically the character, not necessarily the performance, just the writing of the father character. It would have been easy, I think, to go like, dad is neglectful of the kids and that's why we ended up at this place, or dad doesn't really, but like, he really listens to both of his kids. I'm thinking specifically of the scene where he's like, do I expect too much? Like, tell me what I'm doing here. Like, am I
love that he started that conversation with an apology. Like, hey, I've probably been taking advantage of you. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
And when Ben says, like, no, I love doing this. And he goes, but maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't love doing this. Maybe
that
you
was
should.
Such a good scene.
I don't know. I was really impressed watching with an adult lens, being like, wow, Disney.
There's
can't
a maturity
believe
to this
that.
Script that I don't Absolutely. Know that we get in our others. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. This was 99
or 98 even, I think.
Okay.
No, wait, 99 sounds right.
We have the technology. Let's verify it. Hey, Pat,
it's
what
99.
Year did that movie come out?
99.
Yeah, she said 99. Katie Seagal just texted me and said 99.
Ask her if she'll sing you one of those cool songs from Sons of Anarchy.
Hey, Pat, sing me one of those cool songs from Sons of Anarchy.
I hurt myself today.
I don't know. I was honestly shocked that I liked the dad character this much.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I've ever seen that man in anything else, ever.
You probably have.
Again, we have the technology.
That's
Let's
probably
find
true,
out.
But I just...
But it's like, right?
He was sort of a one-off experience in my life as far as remembrance goes. But I just really was impressed by the father character in this movie.
He is in Home Alone 3, everybody's favorite Home Alone.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I would love like a docuseries on the people that Disney didn't choose to have in Eight Things, right? Because like if Disney loves you... They really don't let go.
Right.
And we've seen that throughout even this short. I mean, it's random four movies of the millions of DCOM movies, and it is overlapping.
We already have
everywhere.
Two double dizzers. Yeah.
Two double dizzers just in this, you know? And so it's like, wow, what did you do? Like,
right. And, you know, there's something, speaking of like the charm of the 90s, there's something charming about. We've talked a little bit about it already. The way that bullies are handled in 90s movies are so, it's so simple. It's so binary. It's just, this person is a bully. The end. It's almost refreshing. And this kid's hair is outrageous.
Oh, yeah.
So in a way that, in a sentence that I'm sure I will come to regret for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Smart House. The way that it simplifies its plot for children to understand it, and we simplify characters and kind of turn them a little bit into 2D cutouts, somehow feels elemental rather than reductive. And it feels like, I don't want to say mythic in scope, but it feels like the kind of way where it's like, I don't need a lot of depth from Ben Kenobi because I know he's an old wizard. I don't need a lot of depth from Luke at the beginning because I know he's a farm kid. I don't need a lot of depth from Spiky Hair Bully because I know he's mad that he doesn't have his science report. You know, and it works on an adult level that I don't think the other super two-dimensional characters have in these other ones for me.
So yeah. I think that what you just said is wild.
Yes. No. I'm going to regret saying that.
That's okay. I think to compare the binary on-off switch of a Disney Channel original movie Bully to the mystical powers of Obi-Wan Kenobi is pretty out there.
That is wild, but then that's when I ask myself, where else but Two Chalks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what other podcast would have the courage to say that?
Courage is a good word for it.
What I was going to say, and I'm still going to say it, it's going to be lost in what's just happened, but that's good. A lot of good things are lost in that kind of stuff. It's maybe mediocre. It does feel like any kid version, though, of Bully has had, even up to this point, and maybe still parts of it now, that feels like a century old thing. Like, I feel like I'm thinking back to Popeye and like all these things where it's just like, it's a one note thing. And for someone who's like appreciates villains so much and really appreciates layers in that, right? Applicable foe. There is also a part about this that has a bit of charm to it. It's interesting.
Ben's can of spinach is his house with an arm.
His neon orange messenger bag that he has instead of a backpack. Is the reason I had a messenger bag in elementary school.
Come on, I love that.
Yes.
I love that. That's very good. Speaking of orange things, when the smoothie machine malfunctions and launches oranges hither and thither across the kitchen area, why do they react as though that is lethal?
I mean, it felt like it would hurt.
Yeah, that would not feel good.
But the way...
That's bad.
I don't know, man. It's not going to feel good, but the way they react is like, get down!
Listen, I respect that you're trying to find a plot hole in this movie because it's like, what else would we criticize? Luck. But I don't think that's it, bud.
There are things, though, like that. There are those vibes that I picked up that made me feel differently that I am wondering, was anybody else at moments terrified of this house?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Jeez.
We talk about the arm, and you just mentioned the arm, which it was much kinder than I thought it would be. I don't know why, and it probably is because we are fresh out of Chunktober, that I did expect a death, maybe. I expected
like a little bit of Doc Ock in Spider-Man 2.
Just a gore right through the chest.
Yeah.
Yes, I want to see the green screenless or the like graphic designless version of her. What's the lady's name who made Smart House, who made Pat?
Sarah.
Of Sarah backing out super fast, like she's getting pushed out of the house by Pat.
Yep.
Please, I want to see what she dove into in the scene where she dives headfirst in through the armhole.
First of all, that's probably not her because she turned like Cirque du Soleil for about 2 seconds to get after that newspaper. How much time did they waste waiting on the newsboy when... Wouldn't the house have maybe just picked up any paper that went out? I don't know.
Yeah, they could.
It's just not meant to be picked apart that way.
No, you're right, though. And I got to say, the thing that I thought about, and I think it's just a sign of the times a-changing, but all I could think is, like, there's no way that putting in, like, 100 applications to a sweepstakes means that you have a good chance of being a winner. But then I realized... It would only be local people in 1999. People wouldn't be entering from all over America trying to win this house necessarily. Like, I don't know. Once again, we land back on DCOMs being such a time capsule.
The time capsule-iest thing to me is that they're all totally cool with it when the house takes a sample of their DNA before they agree to move in.
Oh, yeah. That's terrifying, too.
Isn't that wild? Like, imagine, like...
It bit me. No, it didn't, silly.
Yeah, like...
It took your flesh.
With the tired eyes of a surveillance state boy, like, that is a horrifying reality to live in.
For sure.
Yeah, but I mean, your phone has your face and probably your fingerprint.
Another timestamp for me is if someone was worried about you, they would go to see you to check on you.
Yes.
Right?
Hey, man, I just thought I'd came over. heard you weren't doing well. Like, what? That's a thing. Okay, cool. That's a thing.
You're talking about Brink?
Well, yes, that, but it also happens in this movie too.
Don't give these people any Brink. These people, these okay. regular listeners get no Brink.
You know that all Patreon listeners don't just listen to Patreon.
I know, but they know what they're getting. I love them. They get Brink.
Well, I'm sorry. I am going to try and not talk about episode that should not be named. I'm sorry.
Now, it is. So we get another example of payphones in a middle school. And I do want to point out that Ryan Merriman, how many years before Luck of the Irish? Five, is still playing an eighth grader.
True. Bro, them handles are still looking good, though. I mean, he's been playing ball since he could walk.
Yeah. It's because Pat did his homework. He never learned anything. Pat's just been doing all his reports.
You know, I do. There was an element watching this of like, we kind of all live in a smart house a little bit. Like, just with how, I don't know. I'm not trying to be like, guys, the future is here. But like, there were so many things they were doing where he was like, finally, an address book I can't lose.
It's like, well, I mean, one of the big features of the smart house is the ability to video call Sarah and talk to her. And we're all doing that literally right now.
By the way,
right,
she does not answer.
Yeah.
She's just like, oh, you're looking at me. He's just like, call Sarah. And she's like, oh, hey, I didn't see you there.
It's a non-consensual video call.
It is non-consensual.
It's just, if your phone was just like, hey, it's me, Doge. Hey.
How many movies get scarier with time?
Not many.
Smart House. That's how many.
That's it. That's it, man. Smart
House.
That's
the only one.
Maybe Jurassic Park, because maybe we are closer to being able to create dinosaurs.
God, I wish.
You don't, bro.
No,
is
dude,
Smart
I
House
do.
Better if there's a dinosaur?
I say
is
yes.
Is every movie better if there's a dinosaur?
I say yes.
No.
Strong yes, no. Yes, there obviously is. It obviously is
strong
better.
No.
There is something so intoxicating, though, about a house with artificial intelligence just all throughout, to the point where it's like, I know how you need to wake up today. Let me wake you up the right way. Let me throw this video screen and sound at you. I have to imagine
Pat's
the
like,
room
let
is
me see what
control.
Footage Disney already owns so I can put it on your wall.
Hey, you know what else? We found out in this movie that the style, the clothes that you wear, they live in your heartbeat, because Pat chose Angie's outfit based on her biometric rhythm.
That's some Assassin's Creed type science.
I know.
All of history lives inside my blood cells.
She's just like, the way your pheromones smell today, these are the capri shorts that you will be wearing this morning.
Your suit.
Based on biometric analysis, my sensors indicate you would like to wear only purple today.
Only purple.
No, and there's room to talk about Katie Sagal, and I think we'll get there. But I think the thing that I would like to tackle first is, have you guys, and I think we talked about this on the show before, have you guys read, I think it's Ray Bradbury's The Veldt?
Uh-huh.
Because this room where they can play putt-putt and be out at the beach with the wind blowing is just The Veldt, which has some dark connotations.
Well, they have those screens in their houses in Fahrenheit 451 as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, this house is not only screens and stuff. They're putting into the wall.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is the ball that the dog is chasing real? Does Pat have the ability to create matter?
It's a good question. I mean, yeah. So if she's able to control the ball and throw the ball,
magnets.
Why can't she touch?
It's magnets.
Why can't she protect them at the end when she creates her own?
Because they don't have magnets.
Where do they buy? How do they buy groceries for Pat? That's the thing that I
was
thinking.
I had that thought.
Because after she shot all the oranges everywhere, I was like, oh man, they're out of oranges.
That had to be all of her oranges, right?
Who knows?
It's like 200 oranges.
Can she create matter? I think that's the question that lies at the core of the smart house.
Mm. Really makes you think.
Mm.
We know she can create good vibes.
One thing I do know is that she has far more bells and whistles than a Chevrolet.
depends on the package, I think, but
oh man, I'm just saying a ton of things I'm going to regret today. I'm going to look back at this episode and it's going to be the Hindenburg of my podcasting experience.
Speaking of things that crashed and burned, I'd like to talk about Disney. I'd like to dunk on Disney Plus for just a second. What is with this widescreen crop?
Super dump.
Wait, really?
This is my super dump.
Yeah. That has nothing to do with Smart House.
It has to do with the presentation of Smart House. I think we can do that.
You think you can super dump the theater you were in when you saw a new movie?
I think I have super dumped annoying people sitting in front or behind me in a theater.
I'll allow it for now.
Yeah, super dump would be the widescreen crop because there are several shots that are completely ruined by this.
Yeah.
Like there was that whole kind of uproar after Disney Plus launched and found out that episodes of The Simpsons were cropped and you're missing out on visual gags. And this one, whenever the steak comes up out of the countertop, you don't see the steak.
Until he mentions it.
Whenever Pat absorbs Dad's keys down into the countertop, you don't see that happen because it's out of frame.
Here's what's fun. I'm going to give you the super dump now because for someone who's seen it the second time, I had no idea that these things happened. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm feeling again the feelings of like, where did that come from? Okay, cool. I can.
Yeah.
And that one main character that always stayed on the outside of the frame. Never seen.
Yes. The short, they had another sibling who is very short. Never saw them. No, the thing is that
he's
like
a leprechaun.
It was his real mom. She's not dead. She's a tiny leprechaun.
Oi, Shillelagh.
Oh man, it just ruins the composition of a lot of these shots too, though. It is like every shot is too close and makes me uncomfortable to look at. And the resolution of the film was clearly not scanned. Like this wasn't run through the Teranex at the right resolution to be able to accommodate that crop because everything is blurry.
I'm about 100% positive you made up whatever that word in the middle of that sentence was, but
Teranex? No, it's a real thing.
You can't read any words. You're absolutely right. Like anything with fine detail on it is just mush, which is really disappointing when you get like the group dance shot because I want to be able to copy the moves, but it's just hard to see exactly what their feet are doing.
I've been trying to learn that choreography, but I just can't see what their feet and their heads are doing at the same time.
It's been literally a couple of decades of my life worth of watching Smart House. And I got to say, the dancing never gets old. I know I've already talked about it, but... It's a really fantastic scene, and I just want everybody to know that.
I may be about to put my foot in my mouth, which is something I've been doing a lot this episode. I watched Smart House, actually, Jordan, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago. I think it was right after you and Callie got married.
Bought it on Amazon Prime.
We watched it at your house waiting for Jess to get there because we were going to watch Silence of the Lambs that night.
Yep.
So the last time I watched Smart House was also the last time I watched Silence of the Lambs before I watched both of them for the podcast.
Which one was a better second experience?
Ooh, Smart House. I don't remember it being cropped on Amazon though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
If the crop bugs you, you might find salvation on Amazon Video.
I would caution you against spending additional money if you've already got access to it, but you know.
Then we have different opinions about this flick.
No, I am curious. If you were taking a tour of your home for the first time and somebody mentioned, you said, hey, I'm thirsty. And they said, Pat would love to get you a drink. Is the very first question you ask, can I have a smoothie, please? Yes or no?
I think smoothie is top of the list of things I would not accept from a stranger.
And it's instantly ready. Even if the house is smart, it's got a blend.
The house is a precog.
And one of Angie's first true action within the home is to immediately dump smoothie all over the floor.
Oh, that does feel like something I have done. Thanks for having me over. Oh, God. Just everywhere.
Can I have a strawberry smoothie, please? Oh, no. Like instantaneous smoothie floor.
Carter, do you remember the time at my house that you got scared by the ice maker and dropped that glass cup on the floor?
Oh,
do you remember that?
My God,
the ice maker spooked you because it dropped more ice into the fridge.
So Carter would not do well in a Smart House situation.
Huh?
Did I break the glass?
Oh, into a million pieces.
Oh, no.
Which Pat could have absorbed and then loaded up into some sort of a grenade, I guess.
Dude, if Smart House came true, I would invite you to my house a lot.
Me?
Like, if you want it, or just like, if Smart House was real, we would hang out.
If it was real life.
And you had it.
And I had it. I would invite you over to dance and throw stuff on my floor.
Do you promise? Aww.
Promise, dude. Okay. Completely promise.
I would move in.
You're invited.
I think that's up to you, man.
No, I would move in.
Take the house. You've won the house. You've won my smart house.
Man, I don't know. I feel like at this point, listeners can tell when we got that nighttime energy, but we got that nighttime energy in this episode. A big time.
No sunshine outside. It's daylight saving, so it's been dark for about 11 hours, it feels like.
Yeah, we're about 11 hours into darkness, and I think the best way to deal with darkness...
It's only 4:30, that's wild.
...is to throw on your headlights and drive on through the tunnel to the other side, wherein lies the shout announcements. Jump, shout announcements. Jumping. Welcome to shout announcements, the part of the show where we give shout outs and make announcements. Here we go. Look, I know that I've been harsher than I need to. And maybe it's not fair. You know what? Maybe it's not fair because maybe the reason that not enough of you voted for Brink is because you just don't know what you're missing. So let me change tone. For you, absolutely. No, you know what? I'm going to keep it cool and civil. On Patreon, for this series, for you patrons, we will be watching and reviewing Brink! Exclamation point, the greatest DCOM of all time. And I implore you, if you are a patron, you already know what's up. And if you're not, watch Brink, throw $3 our way. Get on Patreon and let's just all have a soul skating puppin suds and party. Please. Patreon has all the bonus content that you could ever crave and more. You're going to absolutely love it.
Yeah. We just recorded that episode and boy, was it amazing.
You know what my favorite part was? You know what? I'm not even going to say it.
Don't say it. Don't say it. Our least
My favorite,
favorite
was
part
when Jordan did a 540 on the video call.
Amaze.
Perfectly inverted 540. That's 1.5 full rotations in the air. That's my impression of the guy that works for ESPN in that movie.
Also Wallace Shawn, weirdly enough.
Inconceivable.
The smartest thing that all you and your houses can do for us is to rate and review our podcast. Think of it like, say you're a kid, you know, just a regular average eighth grader who's the quote mom of your family. Pretend there's a house and you want to win it and you enter the sweepstakes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times.
You pull up your big shorts and you enter the sweepstakes.
What you don't again, understand you is that again, helps your big. House. That will help your house reach new owners. In this scenario, we're your house and rating and reviewing our podcast is the entries. So do it. You know how to do it statistically,
and
so please do.
New people or new listeners or owners, who's the bully? Carter?
It's Melissa
Joan
Hart,
probably. Do you know
Hart,
who the bully is?
I know who the bully is, but I do want to first say on the rate and review thing, that hits close to home for me because I am a teacher, and the teacher evaluations, you familiar with those?
I am.
Like, that's a big deal. And so my livelihood rests now in every avenue.
I suplexed a couple of those in my time.
That's good.
That did not hold
back.
Became a keyboard warrior on those guys.
And don't hold back. Rate and review. Yeah, our villain right now. Oh, man, you hate to say it. You hate to. Melissa Joan Hart. So maybe it's Mario Lopez, dude. Maybe the whole time Melissa's been Snoke and Mario's just been the emperor back there. Just holding the strings.
Somehow Mario Lopez returned.
Somehow, dude. And he hasn't changed. That's because there's different versions of him. Man, it's all coming together.
Maybe. Who knows actually what happened?
Feliz Navidad is coming up this very weekend. November 21st will be the release of Feliz Navidad on Lifetime. I guarantee you it will happen on that day because nothing can stop streaming and nothing can stop made-for-TV Christmas romance movies. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to call it a com. I don't know if
it's just a rom in there.
Let's see if I laugh.
I need you to know, I promise you, that at least Doge will have our actual script of Feliz Navidad out while watching this film, just so that we can. I don't know. There is a part of me, guys, that's excited.
I'm very excited.
Are y'all not excited?
Oh, I'm super excited to watch it.
I'm excited in the way that you're excited to get a cast off, where it's like, you know, your arm's going to be like really stinky itchy. And itchy, but it's better to have it off than on. Like, I'd rather
see, you know what you're dealing with.
Yeah. I'd rather see what's underneath.
That's good. Yeah. Remember again, November 21st is when that comes out. Please watch it. Watch it with your friends. Be responsible
with your enemies.
Watch that movie. You can get angry with us if you'd like. If you want to reach out to us, feel free to. We'll be active. So Smart House.
Yeah, dude, good transition.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Katie Seagal.
Steven's, talk about it. Steven's mom.
Steven's mom. Steven's mom, Katie. Look, I think she is a pretty excellent actress. I think that she is an exceptional voice actress. I think that her voice is awesome. I think her appearing in hologram form is my super dump.
Ooh.
For the movie Smart House.
Explain this to me.
I feel like once we get to that point, once the house is physically represented as a person, to me, that's when, because then you start to bump into things like, and I love the, you can't, you know, touch the face or whatever. Like I do like that metaphor for like what's going on in the story. But to me, I feel like it's more, maybe more helpful if it's like the house, I don't know, the personification of an actual human woman, of the house being an actual human woman. I would even, I think, be okay if Pat became stuck in screens. I think it's the hologram aspect. Like if Pat could follow them from room to room as Katie Seagal on a screen, like from wall to wall or on the refrigerator or in the command room, like if she was there, I think I'd be more okay with it. But the fact that we come in as a hologram, I don't know. It feels weird to say that it's like too goofy for a DCOM, but in a movie that has been, I feel like, a little more serious about like the parental roles and like what they're talking about, it just feels like it all of a sudden jumps some shark I had no idea was there when Katie holograms into the house. Yeah, it's the part of the movie that just does not work very well for me. And it's not her look or anything. Again, I really think that she works for me if she's on the screens that they've been using.
I think that's pretty clever, the screen thing. But yeah, I wasn't
that's
as
interesting.
Offended by that.
It didn't bother me. And I think it didn't bother me because it actually felt really appropriate and intentional for me to have her actually physically manifest in a way that, like, I don't know. To me, that ties in thematically to Ben's greatest fear is his mom being replaced, and he doesn't realize he's programmed the house to want to replace his mom. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like there's some thematic tie in there.
I agree.
I'm probably a little too navel-gazy for a DCOM. Like, I don't know that this really warrants that.
No, and I do agree with what you're saying. Again, my issue really comes from hologram.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels like... And I know we're talking about a movie where there is a house that has an artificial intelligence and a long Doc Ock arm and all that stuff. I get that. I really do. It just, there's just something about it that feels like it doesn't fit with everything else that the house is capable of or everything else the house is doing or something.
Sure.
And it feels like, you know, there's even sort of a 2001 Space Odyssey reference. I can't do that, Ben. Like there's...
Yeah.
And it feels like maybe being stuck to screens feels a little more Hal. I don't know what it is. It just seems like the metaphor is hammered home more for me if, like, not she can't touch him. She could touch him with a claw, but she can't touch him with a hand and she's stuck to a screen. Like, she can go anywhere instantly, but she's stuck to a... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really don't have a good explanation for why it doesn't sit well with me. I just know that when I think of this movie... The moment she materializes as a hologram is about the time that I lose interest in Smart House.
When I think of this movie, I always think of the like tornado thing that she makes in her living room.
It's crazy.
It looks really, really bad.
For some reason, I get that confused with the tornado thing that Storm makes in the first X-Men. Which is like, you know what happens to a frog when it gets struck by lightning? The same thing that happens
the
to
Ice
everything
Age.
Else. Exactly. It's just a terrible setup.
My super dump happens after we have our big tornado, house tornado.
Oh.
There is really nothing in me that thinks we're going to give this house another chance and still live here.
Yeah.
I'm not living in that house. Nobody is living in that house.
Burn it down.
No. There's some kind of metaphor that's like, right, but there is that one thing, that good thing that comes from the bad habit.
Smoothies.
You know, maybe that's what sucks me back in. You know, it's like, well, but the house does make us milkshakes. Well, yeah, but it could kill you. Stop smoking. You know, it's like, what is it?
It's crazy that the house can hold them hostage in itself.
Not good. Not good. I'm out. I'm not living there anymore.
I like those odds. I mean, I could have
because
a smoothie.
It is such a haphazard trial run. Your first experience is to actually have somebody live there.
Yeah, that's true.
It fails. So what we do next is just trust that it won't try and kill us again.
Just go ahead and stay.
I think. I don't know.
It's sunk cost fallacy, I guess, right? We can't take it back to formula. We're this close.
Yeah. Dude, and at the end, when it's like, hey, I didn't add chocolate chips to these.
Oh, yeah, that's like, my number one.
Everybody's like, who did it? I think I know. If she didn't make the batter, then how did she get the chocolate chips into it? Did her big Doc Ock arm come out and drop chocolate chips?
Yeah, it's like, I didn't add sleeping pills to this casserole. Well, she's clearly capable. That's step one, bro.
Yeah, somebody, if they took too many sleeping pills, somebody would need to call them an ambience.
Now I just feel like I'm missing out. I'm the only person who hasn't contributed.
What? You're the only person who hasn't said the worst thing you've ever said on our podcast in this episode?
Yeah. I'm kind of jealous now. I went from sad to jealous.
Are you still laughing at ambience?
Yeah. You're laughing at yourself the most of anything on this episode. You're pitiful.
Hey, something else I laughed at. I want to keep talking about this house and the logic in this movie. I really do like this movie, genuinely. It's one of the ones I voted for to be in this series. But some of the logic that is applied to this movie, especially viewed in a vacuum, is amazing. So one of the things I would love to zoom in on for a second is the night of the party when Gwen Petroni comes over and is hanging out with Ben.
The worst actress we've ever seen.
Yeah, she's rough.
On a DCOM.
She's rough. She's rough.
Very bad.
And she delivers the, I want something sweet. Ben says, besides me. And then she's like, he's like, no, just playing. Hey, show me the honey. And then he does that sick little jump move where he treats the counter like a pommel horse. Anyway, the treats, the sweets that Pat provides for a bunch of teenagers looks like a company Christmas party.
Very much.
It's like pastries. It's like pastries and like water crackers.
And a cheese ball. Yeah. It's like, what?
It's like, have you ever seen teenagers before?
I feel like that's probably how LeVar Burton relaxes when he gets home after a long day at reading Rainbow.
Wait, can we spend our last 10 minutes just looking for LeVar? It's the only time we'll ever have this segment. We can bring it up again
for
other movies.
Let's look for LeVar.
Where do you see LeVar in this movie?
I'll tell you where I definitely see LeVar, because I love him so much. The tenderness with which Ben watches the home movies.
Yeah.
That's LeVar Burton,
that
baby.
Scene.
That's LeVar.
Yes, that was another heart-wrenching.
That's LeVar Burton, baby.
But then, though, he turns it and gives it that horror that I've been talking about, because when she's trying to kill them, she's singing that song.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That's like apps. That's actually creepy.
You know, and Pat is abusive because she's trying to save them, but she's trying to save them from the problem she has created.
It's gaslighting, baby.
She's gaslighting.
Amazing.
So we know she's a gas-powered house, not electric.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Now we know.
The extras, the child extras at the party. I can't believe. I'm incapable of the belief that they knew the cameras were rolling.
No, they did.
The things
they
that they've
to.
Decided to do with their bodies and their faces are there was completely beyond belief.
There was a point where I thought, I legitimately thought, you know what? I think I would have preferred mannequins. And just to be like, isn't that weird how he just talks to inanimate people all the time? Because what these kids are doing is like, come on, Disney. Don't you grow child actors?
As somebody who has both a body and has also been to a party, I was offended.
Here's the conspiracy theory, though. Are those just all holograms? Is that our first holograms that we see?
Is everything a hologram?
Pat's been playing the long game the
whole
time.
Ben has lived
Anybody's
in his house his whole life. Everything he's experienced has been a hologram.
Whoa. Truman Show-esque. This is good. Movie's getting better.
It's an empty house. That's how the couch disappears. There's not even furniture. Mm. Everything he touches is just Pat's arm stopping him before he gets to it.
It's like the Community episode where they find out that Greendale's an insane asylum.
Stop letting him make you realize things. No, I think I'd like to look for LeVar a little bit more, because I have to think that LeVar's vision of the future, as optimistic and wonderful as this man is, he has to be the one that was like, the house is going to wake you up with music videos, concerts, images of farms, but it's also going to analyze what you want to do for fun and just deliver it right to you. That has to be LeVar.
I feel that I see LeVar most in the way this movie treats its subject matter. Like the fact that this movie is unafraid to have the scene with Dad and Ben, like we talked about earlier, where Dad, like, that's a very mature thing to put in the script of a made for TV children's movie, where Dad's like, am I presuming too much on your kindness toward our family? Like,
dude, that's a good scene, man.
Like, that's that type of stuff. And the fact that the core emotional conflict in this movie is Ben afraid that his mom is going to get replaced. Like, that is to me, it just stands out. It's so separate from every other DCOM that we've watched in terms of the maturity of its subject matter and the trust that it has for its audience, that this movie honestly believes kids will understand this and engage with it, even though you might think it's too old for
them.
Well,
it's funny. I think I remember, because I would have watched this pretty young. Like, I think I remember even watching it and being like, I get that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this, for some reason, resonated with me as a kid. And, like, I think there is just a... And you see that, especially through Reading Rainbow, but you see LeVar Burton continuously advocating for, hey, like, we can treat kids. They're not tiny adults, but they're tiny adults. They have full emotional range. Right. And you can engage with them about meaningful
things. That's good. There's LeVar. Yeah. We looked for him. We found him.
I found him.
Hey.
I found LeVar.
The Look dad, what we've done. Mr. Cooper, Daddy Cooper, just carries Hershey's Kisses around.
On a first date, that's a smooth move.
That is a smooth move, but are you going to give him that much credit for real? He asked his daughter what tie to wear.
I'm going to give him that much credit.
No. He's held on to something.
It's because he was like, man, all my ties are the ugliest ties we could find in the whole 1990s.
Except for that.
And he didn't know which one was the least ugly.
The circles.
I guess. Did mom remind you guys of Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Yes.
Not mom. Sorry, Sarah.
No.
TV Julia Louis-Dreyfus. 100%.
And she's like this.
I think I missed that.
She's like this discount.
You know, from Seinfeld.
I am very aware of who
she also has this element. We're watching The Boys right now. And the woman who heads up the like company, Sarah, was a little bit discount her as well.
Interesting.
I had that thought. It's very interesting that you bring that up.
I thought Dad and Sarah's acting was pretty good in this.
Yeah, thought it was fine.
I mean, not great, but like it was way better than other parents we've seen in DCOMs.
Yeah.
I think that's totally valid.
That's good. What is interesting though, Sarah, did they not call the cops? Was that never a thought? Because I know the people in the house can't, because the house is controlling that stuff. We take the phone.
Well, maybe
away,
it's like E.T. though. You don't want the cops involved or they'll take the house.
But okay, I had lost all care for the house at that time. If you can't tell, I'm done with the house.
No, I think we've got varying degrees of continued investment in this house. I think that after a debug process and telling my 13-year-old to stay out of the control room, I'd be fine with going back.
No.
Yeah, I think I'd be okay.
No. I'd be fine with going back if Sarah lives with us now. And it's like, hey, if anything goes wrong, like Sarah, your only job in our family, your only chore is make sure Pat doesn't kill us.
I think that's a guarantee.
This is the same way I felt about when Jurassic World came out. And I was like, what? This is a decade after.
No, but see, the main difference between this movie and Jurassic World is that Jurassic World sucks and I'll never watch it again.
So Sarah is the mayor of, isn't it Amityville in Jaws? Sarah is the mayor of Amityville to you, telling everybody it's fine. Go back in the water. It's not that big of a deal.
Okay. Basically.
It's Amity Island.
Amity Island. Is that right?
Yeah.
Amityville is the horror.
Absolutely.
Now, what I would like to do is rate this movie using the same science that Sarah used to engineer the house itself. The scientific cinema scale That's created crazy. Right here in-house at our very own Two Chunks Test Kitchen. It is perfect and as follows. The best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it. Don't lend it.
Buy that poster.
The next best thing? Let's buy it. Followed by rent it and then stream it. After that is forget it, and last, but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
I'm going first. I'm buying this movie.
Okay.
It frightens me how close I was to a poster for this movie.
Wow. Oh, that's it. That's all you got. That's all you got on it.
Yeah. I rent it because it frightens me.
Fair enough. I love how non-verbose everybody is on their explanations, because we've said it all. I am buying this movie. I really am. I think that this, when it comes to DCOMs, is just about as good as they get. I mean, I really think that this is, like we said, it's thoughtful. It's fun. Dancing. What more could a guy ask for?
This to me is the proto DCOM from which all lesser DCOMs are descended. Hmm. In their various ways, they will never be able to encapsulate the fullness of Smart House. It's my favorite DCOM. I don't know if that's clear.
This one is your favorite DCOM.
Yeah. Oh. By a country mile.
Interesting.
Whoa.
It's interesting. I'm trying to think where it would land on my list.
I was about to say, I thought you were going to say that you were trying to think if it was your favorite.
Oh, it's
I was
like, most certainly not.
Everyone knows this.
It's most certainly not my favorite. I think it would probably be, it's definitely top five. It would probably be top three for me.
Number one for me, since I was a kid, even as a kid, this is my very favorite
So
one.
does the bam, 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 does it just like shoot you back in time, that little soundtrack
Absolutely,
music?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, dude, same with me. I just have, this was one of the ones that I remember like cozying up on a Friday, turning the lights out, popping popcorn, like for real getting into this.
Watching it with my whole family. Yeah, dude. Absolutely, me too.
I have so much envy right now that I didn't have this.
It's beautiful. I didn't have this.
That's great. I'm so happy.
It's really big of you.
For me, my going back in time is hearing like Hey Arnold and stuff like that.
So yeah, you were more of a Nickelodeon boy.
Well, more of didn't have Disney.
Yeah. That does make it difficult.
I love the, can you get off the internet or
Dude,
whatever, because I'm trying
right?
to get on the phone. Yeah. It was one of the reverse things.
Yep.
Big time. Happened to me all the time.
Keep getting a busy signal. There's definitely a teenager in that house. Now, I wish that Disney, I'm going to take this time. We ended a smidge early this episode, so I'm going to take this time to pitch an idea that I'm going to let Disney take for free.
Melissa, we know you're listening. This one's only for Disney, not for you, not for Mario.
We know somebody's listening.
Melissa, no, Disney Plus needs to allow an option for a continuously streaming channel that lets you set to where it's like Disney shows, Disney movies, and old commercials and ads from around that time. And essentially run like a Disney Channel time capsule.
That does sound very expensive, but they've got the money.
The thing is, Disney Channel did not run third-party ads. Disney only ran their own.
You know about my decade TV,
yeah, I do,
right?
Yeah, I know about that.
Okay.
Oh. No, but Disney only ran Disney ads, so they still have the rights to all of them.
Amaze.
Play it. Do it, Disney. Coward.
Like, imagine just something you could throw on. I guess really what I'm saying is I wish that there was an option, like an old school mode, where you could start a Disney Channel original movie with that thing where they're like water sliding down the film reel and like jumping over it and stuff.
Jeez. Yeah.
I think that would be really fun.
Right. That
Carter knows. Carter loves it and knows.
Carter loved it. That was his favorite.
I only chime in because I'm not.
But Netflix.
I want to bring to your attention a 2019 project by a director whose name I'm not 100% confident on how to pronounce. He directed Horns, that Daniel Radcliffe movie where he grows goat horns. He also did The Hills Have Eyes.
Well-rounded.
He has a project that was slated for 2019. I don't think it ever came out. And it was called Smart House. A family in the witness protection program is placed in the custody of a state-of-the-art autonomous smart house. When a group of assassins locates the family, the house goes into a lethal defense mode.
So it's like Home Alone. It's almost like meets Panic Room meets Smart House.
Meets Smart House, yeah. It's the gritty reboot I didn't know I needed.
Would for sure
life.
Watch it.
I mean, I'll
would 100%
watch it. Is Ryan Merriman in the cast?
There is no cast because it never happened.
Because only house.
No cast, just house. Well, make sure that you jump over to Patreon, check out our Brink episode.
There are two reviews on this movie. The review by Misery Pop says, is this an adaptation of the DCOM Smart House from the director of High Tension and The Hills Have Eyes? Because I'm not in the mood to have my childhood ruined. And then a review from Ark says, I'm posting this review from my smart house. Who chose to remake the iconic Disney Channel film, though? Did God make this?
Okay.
Who's got a bad relationship with God?
I'm going to like that.
Interesting. Next week, we will be finishing the DCOM series. I can't believe it. With High School Musical, the by a long shot first place vote from all of our listeners, our dear, dear listeners. So make sure you check that out. And then we will be shifting into some fun stuff for the holiday season. Now, to end today's episode, I'd like for us each to say our name and what Pat would use to wake you up. For Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan, and I'd like to combine my favorite way to wake up in high school with my favorite way to wake up always. I think Pat would wake me up with the sound of 6 a.m. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on ABC Family that I would flip on while I brushed my teeth and got ready before I went to high school. And the smell of fresh cooking breakfast taco fixins to dump into some tortillas and wake me right on up.
Yeah.
I'm Doge. Pat would use her power to create and destroy matter to wake me up with a cute baby puppy dog licking my face every morning. And I don't know what happens to that puppy dog once I go to school or go to work, but I do know Pat's going to make a brand new one for me.
She can't do that. It would just be the arm licking you and you wouldn't know.
That's fine. And she'll put a hologram around the arm to make it look like a cute little baby pupper.
She can do it. We have proof. I'm Carter. And honestly, Pat would get to know me, I'm sure, after she took some of my good blood. And
do you think she'd like you?
Huh? I don't know. She would get to know me and know me well enough that I need a little bit extra to actually get up. I'm not a morning person. And so I would be mad at her, I think. But then there would come a point to where I'm like, you know what? This started my day when I wanted to. So I would use one of the greatest scenes of all time from one of the greatest series of all time. Would be projected at volume 11 on the wall. Simply a Vin Diesel saying, I'm alone! Like just over and over again.
Wonderful.
And to wake me up.
As we do every week while the outro music fades in and our voices fade out, I just would like to remind everyone that legally, now and forever, we have a recording of Doge unironically saying the word, a pupper.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.